Hey everyone, welcome into another edition of the Woj Pod, a special edition with Brooklyn Nets general manager Sean Marks. Sean, how's your morning been?
Woj, thanks for having me. It's been a busy one. It's been busy, but it's been exciting, and glad that we can continue onwards here in our approach to building.
So, describe the path that led you to hire Steve Nash as your new head coach.
Well, I mean, I guess I would have to look back, 20 years. That's how long our relationship goes back here. And whether that's from, playing against him, Canada versus New Zealand, or playing together with him in Phoenix. And just getting to know him and the character that he is, the person he is, the amazing leader that he is, and what he's shown, especially those Phoenix teams that I was on with him, lucky to be a part of with him. And I think that's led to this date where we figured, this is the best person for this job and this team.
Sean, Steve had been working for the Warriors. He had worked for Team Canada as GM, but he had not committed to a full-time role, whether as a head coach or in the front office. He's had opportunities for both. Did you get a sense, as you started to talk to him or reached out to him, that his thinking had changed about making that kind of commitment? What was that conversation like with him?
Yeah, it had changed, because I talked to Steve about this, over the past sort of decade, about what life after basketball will look like for him and what he wants to, what endeavors, he wants to pursue. I knew he'd be a tremendous asset to whatever team, whatever organization, could bring him on board. And, this last summer, it changed, because the narrative was, Steve had searched me out, and when he knew the job was open and said, look, I want to put my hat in the ring here. And, we started talking. It moved very quickly, but obviously excited to have a guy of his caliber, his stature, to be coming in here to lead this organization forward.
Sean, it feels like on the surface, his time in Golden State, three really valuable things that might be kind of specific to coaching the Nets. Number one, he watched Steve Kerr navigate taking on a head coaching role without any experience, having not been a head coach before. He watched him coach Kevin Durant. He saw the dynamic of that relationship, of how he coached him. And then he built his own relationship with Kevin Durant. Were those all among the elements you guys talked about, and all things that you think might cut the learning curve for him a little bit in Brooklyn?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure if it's cut the learning curve, but I think that probably enticed him to think more about getting involved in coaching. I think when you've been around a championship caliber team, like Golden State, that has just been, a juggernaut, the last 5-6 years. And being around a guy like Steve Kerr, who is an open communicator, high character guy, Steve would certainly have picked up some of Steve Kerr's traits, and I'm sure they picked each other's brain a lot from time to time, which, I think that's led Steve to want to make this decision and want to jump in right now. And obviously it never hurts when you've already got a rapport with some of our players, which Steve has, and he's got the respect of everybody in the league because of how he's conducted himself over the lifetime of his career.
Sean, how do you include, or how did you include, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving in the search, in your conversations with candidates, and then their feedback, their thoughts on who and the characteristics of the things that they wanted that were important to them?
Yeah, well, we had a very diverse search. The net was extremely wide, and to be quite frank, I was humbled by the interest that that we had for this position. I've always said that I would communicate with our players and let them know where we're going and what my thoughts would be about whether it's a head coach or whether it's somebody in free agency or even a draft prospect. Guys like to watch basketball. We're lucky. We've got some basketball savants on our team, and they're very in tune with what's going on, whether that's at the NCAA level or whether that's the next sort of coaching hire. So we certainly involved multiple members of the team. But again, this was a decision that, you know, Josiah and myself, you know, consulted a number of members of the team with and decided, look, Steve is the best person that we see fit for this job. And thankfully our players agreed with us and they're just as ecstatic as we are.
Sean, how much did 1 year, even though Kevin didn't play for you this year, Kyrie was limited in the games he played, how much did you learn about those two and who the right coach would be and what the characteristics would be to help fit? Because ultimately, you've got to have buy-in from your star players in this league to win at the highest level. How much did you learn this year about them that helped you in maybe gave you more confidence that Steve Nash was the right guy?
Yeah, I think, you know, spending a year with Kevin and Kai for the most part, you know, sidelined, enabled me to strike up a relationship and a rapport with these guys. And we had a lot of conversations, whether that was watching practice or post games or even throughout the summer here and leading into these playoffs as to what we should be looking for, what we need. Both expressed high character. They wanted a great communicator and they wanted somebody that they would respect. And I think we've, you know, hit that nail on the head, you know, with a hire like Steve. Again, it goes back to, you know, I was able to see it firsthand with my time with him in Phoenix. I think he's the only, or one of the only players I've ever seen show that sort of team first mentality and really live by it. You know, he was not interested in individual statistics. He had an incredible empathy for whether it was like a guy like myself, the 15th man on the roster, or Rajah Bell, who was right next door to him, so to speak, in the lineup. So his ability to really bring that group together was amazing. And to be honest, that's what we're going to need. You know, we have a lot of pieces here and there's probably some pieces still to go. We'll see how we build this out. But as Josiah had mentioned before, and I loved his quote, he said, we need a conductor. And I think that's exactly what we need here. And Steve's the right guy.
Sean, you talked about that time with him in Phoenix. And it kind of becomes a cliche a little bit about the point guard who was the coach on the floor. Every point guard has to lead and be an extension of the head coach. But the conversation was always different around Steve Nash and even the development of Amari Stoudemire and how he elevated Amari. And, you know, the joke was always, think of all the guys who got paid contracts, who Steve, he did it in, whether it was in Phoenix, you had Jason Kidd in Brooklyn or in New Jersey, that there was just something about that elite next level point guard that day in and day out really did coach the group. Was it just as different with him as anybody you had been around?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you get to that level of elite point guards, that's what they're known for, is making everybody better. And without a doubt, you know, Steve was the head of the snake in Phoenix. Again, had that incredible humility and the empathy for the entire group, and was able to bring us all together. And that's what he did there. And the expectations are that, you know, he'll do the same here with us. Yeah.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand slams, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
Sean, how much background have you done in sort of picking the brain of others who have hired a head coach without coaching experience and how they put stabs around and how they supported him? Was there any were you familiar, like kind of have some intimate knowledge of some other situations? Have you gone out during this and talked with people about that? Or is that something you do now once you've got Steve on board?
It's a combination of both. Obviously with a hire like this, this wasn't something that we were, to be honest, didn't have the time to be running out there and doing a whole bunch of background on first-time head coaches and so forth. I think it really, you know, my relationship with Steve over the years, you know, was a strong factor there. But, you know, I think now it'll be up to Steve, and Steve has shown the curiosity and the humility to want to reach out to, you know, to many of these coaches who have found themselves as a first-time seat, you know, in that front seat. So he'll be reaching out. And, of course, his time with Steve Kerr. I mean, that's a perfect example. But, you know, he's not the first player and won't be the last player to jump straight into coaching at the highest level. And I think we've seen, you know, numerous guys have a lot of success, and it'll be up to us to now – you know, surround him with the right personnel, both on and off the court. But you know, his basketball IQ is off the charts, and what makes him special is his EQ, which I think people will gravitate to.
Sean, so when the job opened, it was Steve who reached out to you and said, "Hey, I think I might be ready to do this." Is that how it initially played out?
Basically, yeah, yeah. I mean, we've had conversations again, dating back years and years now, you know, because we are close friends. And we've picked each other's brains on a lot of different scenarios. And not just, honest to be honest, not just coaching. However, this we always do get together from time to time with the families and so forth. And this one felt natural. It was certainly not forced. And again, there was a different tone with Steve. You know, I've seen since the last, you know, sort of week or two of this, really his approach pick up and his preparation for this has been, you know, pretty impressive, to be honest. Whereas he, you know, he's giving this his best shot, and you know, he has a lot at stake. We all do here. But you know, I think when he's willing to sacrifice, you know, some of the a little bit of the livelihood that he has already, and said, look, you know, I want to throw my hat in the ring here. I want to give this a shot. And I know what's at stake. You know, I know there'll be naysayers and so forth, but, you know, he's got our utmost support here with us.
Sean, how important was it for you to be able to put Steve in place and then be able to keep Jacques Vaughn at the top of his coaching staff?
Extremely important. I love the continuity that we have with Jacques staying in place. But I will say this, this is not only was it important to me, but it was more important to Steve. And this was one of Steve's, you know, first sort of requirements of the job. He said, look, I want to do it, but I have seen how Jacques coaches. You know, I know the person, and I look forward to getting to know him better. So it was that was led just as much by Steve as it was myself. And I think when you've got a good group, and you know we have a good tandem here, it's going to be fun to watch those guys communicate and continue to grow as a team.
Kyrie Irving, there probably isn't a peer of his in the league now who plays the position as creatively as he does, as innovatively as he does. And as Steve Nash is certainly somebody who evolved the position, changed it, and I wonder in your conversations with Kyrie, just his intrigue with being able to maybe have kind of the high level conversations and having a head coach who really understands what it means to play that position at the level Kyrie plays it at.
You're 100% right. I think I look forward to, you know, I obviously won't be privy to all those conversations, but I look forward to hearing or at least seeing both Steve and Kyrie, you know, get together and really talk about a lot of things. And to be honest, I think a lot of those things are not even on the court. I mean, they'll obviously share a lot of their basketball experiences and so forth, and there really isn't anything that Steve hasn't seen and Kyrie the likes. But I think a lot of this relationship is going to be built off the court. Again, going back to what I know and what I've seen of Steve as being just the ultimate communicator, that's what those, you know, the guys on our team have asked for, is they wanted a communicator, and that's what they've got. So we'll see where it goes.
Sean, when you say communication and that your players wanted somebody who was a strong communicator, what does that mean to you? How does that manifest itself for a head coach?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a couple of different nuances to that. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you're as a point guard, you're communicating on the court, you're directing traffic, you're putting people in places to succeed. Yes, that's 100% what it is. I think something that's missed is, are you showing the empathy and are you able to communicate on a much higher level? Did you take the time to get to know your players on a personal basis? You know, do you know their families? Do you know what makes them tick off the court? Because if you know that and you've developed that trust through open and honest communication, then when you do get a chance on the court to, whether it's, you know, tell them they could have done something a little differently, or have them have the trust in your play that you're writing up, you know, at the end of a shot clock or ATO, they're going to believe in you. They're going to trust you because there's a relationship and a trust that's grown far greater than just basketball and beyond just the court.
You know, it's funny. When you look back through history, there's some of the guys who were that kind of a mortal elite player like Steve Nash have had trouble coaching because they didn't understand what it meant to be something far lesser as a player. They didn't really know. They couldn't really identify with a guy at the end of the bench, or there were just things they could do as a player that they have most of their guys, maybe none of their guys can do. And that's made it, I think, more difficult for the immortal player, in some instances, the coach. It feels like with Steve, his career was very different. He became that in his 30s. There's almost not ever been a player in the NBA who became a Hall of Famer in the second half of his career and knows what it's like to struggle and knows what it's like. You know, he wasn't a big recruit coming out. He wasn't a super high draft pick. And he was given up on early in his career before going to Dallas and coming back. Do you think his context is different than others of his, maybe of his ilk?
I certainly do. I think if you look back at a 17-year-old Steve Nash and you think this guy's going to be a two-time MVP, you know, people would probably laugh at you. And that's what makes Steve special, is he's got that chip on his shoulder and he's worked. I've seen him work. I've seen him put in the long hours in the gym. And I know the pride that he's taken in his craft. So I think he's a little different to some of those other, as you mentioned, the high-end players that have gone and tried their craft at coaching. I think it's a little different this time around with him. And he'll certainly have the respect of our guys because I think everybody knows the work that he's put in. This, you know, this isn't because he's got all these God-given talents. You know, I mean, surely he has some of them, but at the end of the day, it's more important is the work that he's put in that's made him who he is.
Sean Marks, the Nets general manager. Sean, thanks for taking the time to jump in this morning. A big day for the Brooklyn Nets. Steve Nash is the new head coach. He signed a 4-year contract. Sean, we'll talk to you soon.
Woj, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Woj Pod. A big thank you to Nets GM Sean Marks. Be sure to listen to new and archived episodes of the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Also, be sure to hear the latest edition of the Low Post with Zach Lowe, with Kevin Arnovitz, talking about the Steve Nash hire in Brooklyn. And, of course, the Hoop Collective, hosted by Brian Windhorst. We'll catch you again soon.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.